God bless you. Thank you so much. Well, it's an absolute joy to be here and delighted to be here. Great. And glad to see some wonderful faces. It's so familiar. And it's good to see so many of you remaining faithful. I do pastor the Northside Baptist Church in Nolanville, Texas, and we're enjoying all that God is doing there in that place. We're grateful for it. I got to follow the wonderful footsteps of a wonderful man of God. Pastor Olton Phillips started the church 33 years ago, pastored it for 25. I've been there pastoring now for about 8 years, and we're just excited about what God is doing in that place. It is an absolutely wonderful church, and by that I don't mean the organization, I mean the people. They're serving the Lord, they're excited about serving God, they're following Him, and I just couldn't be more pleased with what God is doing in that place. I pastor, many of them are soldiers. The United States Army has Fort Hood there, which will be changing its name this year to Fort Cavazos. Anyone here ever serve at Fort Hood in your military time? I'm sure we have some veterans among us. Wonderful. I would like to ask how many of you are veterans? Maybe you're active duty or retired. Veterans, would you raise your hand? Oh, wonderful. God bless you. Thank you for your service. I applaud you, and from all the other veterans at Northside Baptist Church, I say thank you, and for myself, I say thank you. I have a little bit of understanding of what you've gone through and the sacrifices your families have made to allow you to have that career. We just rejoice together, and we're grateful to God for your service. Thank you very much. God's doing a wonderful work. We're thrilled about it. We're excited. I'm glad to have with us Brother Nick and Miss Sarah Lepper. Many of you know them. Nick, growing up here, he leads our school. He's the head of school at the Northside Baptist Academy. His wife is right there every day helping him accomplish everything God's given him to do. We couldn't be more pleased about what God's doing there. And so thank you, Temple Baptist Church, for putting your life and influence in these two. And I appreciate your influence in my life. I want to run to the Word of God, if you don't mind. I think that's a place we ought to get to, don't you? I'd like for you to take the Word of God with me, if you would, please, and turn to the book of John, and we'll be in the 16th chapter, John chapter 16. We'll focus in on one verse tonight, in the 33rd verse, and kind of work off of it, but I believe we'll touch a number of scriptures tonight, if we could. I've been infatuated. I spoke this morning to young people in the chapel, and appreciate that privilege and opportunity, Pastor Sexton. Thank you so much. We spoke on this particular subject as well this morning here in John chapter 16 and chapter 17. I've been a little infatuated with chapters 12 through 17 of the book of John recently. I'm grateful for what God is teaching me here. The Lord Jesus Christ is trying to prepare his disciples, his followers, the 11. Judas has already forsaken him. They've had the Passover. It's already taken place. Judas has gone out to betray the Lord. Lord is teaching his disciples, and he asks them a simple question. He said, I'm trying to help you so that you should not be offended. I'm trying to help you so you won't leave me. Don't go anywhere. He is telling his disciples that he's going to go to the Father. He's no longer going to be with them in body. He's going to ascend to the Father. He's gone. He's going to die on the cross, and he's no longer going to be with them. The disciples get a little quiet. They start getting a little concerned about what they're going to be left with. The Lord says you're going to be scattered everywhere. Matter of fact, you're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. You'll no longer be socially accepted. And not only that, but people are going to wipe you off the face of the earth. And when they do it, they're going to be thinking they're doing God a favor. The world's going to come after you. You're going to be scattered. You're going to be disbanded. You're going to be sent all over the place. You're going to have a hard time assembling together. They're going to want to shut your doors. They're going to want to eliminate your influence from this world. And he says, I'm going away. And then he basically asks them in chapter 16, how come none of you are asking me where I'm going? They had asked the Lord where he was going, but now that he's presented this scenario to them, they've started thinking about themselves as to whether or not they're going to continue in this world, whether they're going to stay on the journey with Christ, whether they're going to continue the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we discover at the conclusion of the Lord Jesus Christ explaining where he's going, he says, I'm going away. He said, I came from the Father, and I'm going to the Father. And the disciples said, well, Lord, we're glad you've told us that plainly, and now we believe. And Jesus makes this statement to them in John chapter 16 in verse number 33. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. And we rejoice in that. And all God's people say, amen. We're glad that he has overcome the world. He's trying to encourage them how they too can overcome the world, how they can continue, how they can do God's will and remain faithful, not be offended, not quit. Many of us are challenged with this. We're facing a world that hates us. We are facing the devil that hates us, this wicked one, this world that lies in wickedness, this human form, this system of the devil that has been arranged in this world, this system that the Lord Jesus Christ warns us of, and he tells us that we should not be a part of, these people that oppose the church, those that are amongst the devil's entourage, those that are not among the redeemed, the called, the saved. The ones that are called the world, the Lord says, "I have overcome the world, and be of good cheer." It's imperative for us, if we're going to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world, it's imperative for us to understand what the world is. And the world is simply the devil and his systems and all the nations of the world and how they operate and all the evil combined. This is the world that Christ has overcome. I think it's important for us not only to consider who is this world that the Lord has overcome, but we must consider how did he overcome the world. What a great statement our Lord Jesus made when he says, "I have overcome the world." This is something all of us desire, and all of us will one day overcome the world. But how did Christ overcome the world? I think he gives us some clues in his word of how he overcame the world. How did he overcome it? First, he overcame by knowing the Word of God. By knowing the Word of God. Would you take your Bibles with me in the book of Luke, the 4th chapter? We're familiar with the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he faced here is he was faced by the devil in these great temptations of Luke chapter 4. We would say that this was the world that he overcame. The devil and his power and his strength. He overcame it. We understand that he overcame it by the word of God. The devil came to him in Luke chapter 4, and Jesus answered him, the devil, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Again, we find in the 8th verse, the Lord Jesus Christ uses the word of God to overcome this world. He says, Jesus answered and said unto the devil, as the devil tempted Satan, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And in the 12th verse, Jesus answered again another temptation of the devil. He said, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Amen. He used the word of God. He used it. The devil always offers the power of the world, but Christ offers to us power over the world. I want you to notice here in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 5, the devil takes him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in just a moment of time. And he said unto him in verse 6, "All this power," the power of the world, the nations of the world, the strength and the system of the world was offered to the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil will always offer us power from the world. But the Lord Jesus Christ offers us power over the world. His power reigns over the world. We'll discover after the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 14 that Jesus returned, notice this, not in the power of the world, not in the power of the system of the world, not in the power of the devil, the power and the might of hand joining in hand, but Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He overcame the world by knowing the Word of God. He's speaking to his disciples back in our text. Keep your mark in Luke chapter 4, if you would. Let's go back to our text in John chapter 16 and let's dig a little in John chapter 17. We'll discover that the Lord Jesus Christ leaves this same word, this same strength to his disciples. He says in John chapter 17, in verse number 8, as he's praying this great prayer of intercession, we get to look in at the Lord Jesus Christ and God as Jesus Christ is praying to the Father. And he's speaking of the 11. He says, I have given unto them, verse 8, the words which thou gavest me, and they've received them. I have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou saidest to me. Again in verse number 14, he reminds the Lord about the strength of his word. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. He reminds us again in verse number 17 that the way that you and I are going to be distinct and different and separated, as we're going to make it and be called out from this world, to be unique in this world, is through the Word of God, where the Lord Jesus Christ makes this statement, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. My dear friend, the same way that the Lord overcame the temptation of the world, I overcame the temptation of the devil, is the same way you and I are going to overcome this world. It's going to be through the Word of God. And not only do we notice the Word of God was used by the Lord Jesus Christ to overcome the word or the world, but I want you to notice as well, the Lord Jesus Christ did the will of God. He did the will of God. Here in John chapter 17 and verse number 4, as he's speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished the will of God with his life. I want to challenge you tonight to accomplish the will of God with your life, to stay on course, not to be offended, but to stay working and serving and laboring, to keep the work of the Lord before you, to be a part of the local church. And can I remind you as well, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of one of his weapons is not only knowing the Word of God and doing the will of God, but he worshiped with the people of God. Back where I had you mark, Luke chapter 4, if you look with me in verse number 14 again, where Jesus returned in the power and the Spirit in Galilee, went a fame of him throughout all the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. If you and I are going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to overcome this world, the strength of this world and the power of Satan, it's going to be necessary that we worship with the people of God. Jesus Christ went into the synagogue. He got around God's people and he worshiped. I don't know about you, but I find great strength with the people of God. I find great encouragement and help. I'm challenged and encouraged often by the people of the Northside Baptist Church to keep doing the will of God and the work of God. They remind me of my responsibility to stay in the Word of God. He did the will of God. He did the work of God. He worshiped with the people of God. Back in John chapter 16, I'd like for us to not only consider who this world is and what does the Lord mean when he says, I've overcome the world. He's speaking of the devil. Not only to determine how did he overcome the world, but I think it's important for us to ask the question, why did he tell his disciples that he overcame the world? Why did he tell them that he overcame the world? Well, I believe because in the world, they were going to need him in order to have peace. They were going to need him in order to have peace. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, he makes this statement, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. They were going to face tribulation, no doubt about it. They were going to face some suffering. They were going to be scattered. But the only way that they were going to have peace, the only way that they were going to find the strength that they needed and the settled heart that they needed was in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says that in me, you might have peace. This world offers us its own remedies for trouble. And they offer these remedies apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Often the world offers to us, if we're going to endure this world or overcome trouble and overcome tribulation and overcome problems, they offer the great remedy, the not a great remedy of diversion. Well, pick up a hobby. You need some time off. You need to go on vacation. Take a sabbatical. Pick up a new toy. Go spend some money. The world gives us remedies apart from Christ. They teach us sometimes that we just have to accept that there's trouble in this life and you're just going to have to make it. Just get thick skin. Don't wear your heart on your sleeve. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. They teach us just to keep going. It's a dog-eat-dog world, the survival of the fittest. This is no mentality for you and I to have if we're going to overcome this world. They offer the remedy of numbing devices like drugs and alcohol, sensual pleasure. They like to give these remedies apart from Christ, but if you and I are going to have peace in this world, the only way we're going to have it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Apart from Christ, there is no real peace. No real peace. You and I can go to heaven. We can go kicking and screaming about all the trouble we're going to face, all the tribulation, all the separation we're going to have, all the death we're going to endure and experience, and all the health troubles. We can go kicking and screaming about everything that happens in this world. Or we can rest peacefully in the sovereignty of God. A great hymn we like to sing in the hymn book that you have, it's hymn number 316. This hymn, Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace, was written by Warren Cornell. He was a preacher in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He writes these words, Peace, Peace. Wonderful peace comes down from the Father above. It sweeps over our spirit in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace. It's buried deep in my heart, in the heart of my soul. It's so secure that no power can mine it away while the years of eternity roll. Soul, are you here? Without comfort or rest? Marching down the rough pathway of time? I ask you to make Jesus your friend. Ere the shadows grow dark, all accept his sweet peace so sublime. Years ago, my wife and I were in quite a conundrum. We had just moved to a ministry and gone along with my father-in-law. We were there, moved to a city where we knew no one. It was the city of El Paso. I was continuing on his staff. He had just taken a pastorate. We're there in a city of 1 million people, multicultural. You have our church was located 3 miles from the Mexican border. We also had Fort Bliss, a military installation there. And here I am, my wife is. I'm a little West Virginia boy growing up in a city of maybe 3,000 people. We just purchased our first home. Maybe paid a little more than we should have for it. The market was high. My father-in-law determined that he was going to leave the ministry. And not only leave the ministry, but leave his family. We've not seen him in the last 13 years. What were we to do? Here we are in this city all alone of 1 million people. The pastor that we've been with for 5 years is gone. My wife's father, my father-in-law is gone. I had no peace in my heart. There was nothing secure. I was floundering. I pick up the phone and I called a pastor. And I was telling of a situation that my father-in-law was going to be leaving this particular ministry. I didn't tell him all that was happening. But my father-in-law had chosen the bottle over his family, alcohol over his family. And I was distraught, and the preacher could hear that I was distraught. And he prayed with me. And just a few hours later, he called me back and he said, "Adam, do you know what you need?" I said, "No, preacher, I don't know what I need." He said, "You need the peace of God in your heart." Amen. And I said, "Okay." He said, "Do you know how to get that?" I remember thinking if I was going to give some kind of answer. And finally, I just surrendered and I said, "No, tell me how I get it." And he took me to Colossians. He said, "Let the peace of Christ be in your heart, but let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Amen. Singing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in your heart, and making melody. It's exactly what I needed. I needed peace. How was I going to find it? How was I going to get it in this world of wickedness? How was I going to get it in this time of turmoil? How was I going to get it as we were being separated and our home was breaking and our ministry was falling apart? How was I going to find the peace of God? It was going to be the same way that the Lord found strength. It was in the Word of God. Amen. I found peace. I needed Him. I determined that I was going to go each morning, and I took a young group of teenagers to camp in Colorado on one of the high mountains, high elevation, and there we rented a cabin, and I determined every morning I was going to get up and read the book of Colossians. I began reading things. We're not after the tradition of men. We're not after the rudiments of the world, but we're after Christ. We're after Christ. We need Christ. We need Christ. We need Christ. Why did the Lord tell his disciples that he overcame the world? Because in the world, as they faced tribulation, they were going to need him to have peace. You need him. You need him. Why did the Lord tell his disciples that he overcame the world? Secondly, because in the world, they were going to need him to experience joy. They needed him for peace, but they needed him for joy. For joy. In John chapter 16 and verse number 33, he says, "In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I've overcome the world. Disciples, you're going to get thumped. Thump, thump, thump. You're going to be thrashed. You're going to be beat upon. You're going to be discouraged. Facebook, social media is going to wear you out. You're going to see all kinds of trouble. You're going to hear about all kinds of trouble in the world. You're going to be discouraged often, dear Christian. Trouble is going to come in your home. It's going to be all around you. It's going to be in your ears. You're going to see it with your eyes. You're going to feel it in your own body. Thump, 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 trouble, 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 tribulation, 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 tribulation. You're going to get thumped. The devil's going to try to separate you from what's good for you. He's going to try to separate you from peace, and he's going to try to separate you from joy. The joy of a Christian does not come from our absence of trouble, but from the abiding presence of our Savior. Dear Christian, only you can experience real joy. The world knows nothing about it. They may know pleasure. They may know thrills. They may know jubilation. But true joy does not consist in the exercise of pleasures, thrills, and jubilation. But true joy lies deep in the well of our heart. It's when we met the Savior, our heart got changed. He made the difference in us. He is our joy. He is our strength. Only a changed heart has the capacity for the joy of the Lord. Psalm 16 in verse number 17 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." The old heart's full of darkness. The new heart, it's full and it's open to the presence of God. Isn't it good to have the presence of God in you? Oh, what a sweet thing. On Monday, I sat in a meeting and our church was praying. We have some decisions we have to make about our buildings and our property. We're talking to some folks who are trying to help us determine what to do with our buildings and our property. Some major decisions, some major financial decisions. And I left that meeting. Others were there with me and great encouragement to me. But I left that meeting facing millions of dollars. I got in my pickup truck to run to a home of a man who just lost his wife. And it's my son's pickup truck, and he had a CD playing, Brother Miscoggins singing. I jumped in the pickup truck and darted down the road. And the song that was playing is, "My God Will Provide." Isn't it great to have the abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with you? Knowing that He speaks to you and the Holy Spirit of God awakens you to truth and helps you and encourages you. The changed heart, it's clean. It's joyful in God. It's upright. It's obedient. It's prayerful. It's devoted to God. Dear friend, if you're here and you don't know Christ, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. If you want joy, real joy, let Him come in. Your sins He'll wash away. Your night, it'll turn to day. Your life, what will He do? He'll make it over anew again. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus, let Him come into your heart. And dear Christian, you're here. It feels like the world is overcoming you. I want to challenge you this evening to get alone with God. Find the peace of God and let Him give you real joy. You don't need to be offended. You don't need to turn back. You don't need to find something new. You have the Savior. He is what you need tonight. He's what I need.